All right, we have Matthew Derrick on Chiefs Digest to talk Chiefs football. There's a lot to get to with Matthew. Matthew, how you doing, my man?
Hey, not too bad, Wade. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, and I tell you, the draft was just an overwhelming success, at least for people from the Kansas City area. Now, there, of course, lots of people took shots. What did you think about the whole experience and how everything went with the draft in KC this past week or so?
Yeah, I think overall it was very favorable. I mean, certainly Kansas City put on a show. I mean, it was everything seemed to go off very well. Everybody around the league and the teams and certainly the Chiefs were pretty happy with how things went. Seems like everybody had a good time. I mean, you know, there's things aren't going to be perfect, and there's going to be some drawbacks always. But I think Kansas City did the best job that it possibly could. You know, they had more than 300,000 people downtown for the draft throughout the 3 days. I think it was a huge success for the city and for the metro.
And by the way, I just want to jump in. I just mentioned that Hunter Dickinson has announced, according to a text I've received, he is going to the University of Kansas. So Jayhawk fans can rejoice. And Dickinson is actually getting paid legally because there are numbers out there. So we just want to follow up on that since I just brought it up. That news just broke a little bit ago. So the draft went very well in regards to all of the setup, and I thought it was great for Kansas City. It was really cool to see Kansas City getting all that attention. I agree with you. That went very, very well. And I wanted, and I was planning on, Matt, to talk to you at the beginning of this interview about the draft. But then yesterday, the story for the Chiefs is that Donovan Smith, left tackle for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a free agent, signed with the Chiefs a one-year deal worth, and I stress the words, up to $9 million. So I saw a whole bunch of reaction on social media from Chiefs fans and Chiefs Kingdom, and I'm really interested to get your take on this, and perhaps you're privy to a little bit of other information. One, do we know what is the base on this deal for Donovan Smith? Do we know the base amount of money? Because they say up to $9 million. Like, how much of that is possible incentives, and how much of that's actually the base? Do we know yet?
More than likely, a lot of it is going to be incentives. I haven't seen the official numbers yet, but you know, the Chiefs going into yesterday had $4.8 million in cap space available. So that's the max that the base and at least the likely to be earned incentives would be for him. So my bet would be that there are a lot of incentives in there, whether they are most likely tied to playing time, snaps, probably how well the team does. So he's certainly going to make more money if the Chiefs, you know, make a deep run in the playoffs, win a Super Bowl. He plays a lot of snaps, but it should be a fairly low base and just a lot of incentives. And he is coming off an injury season, so and a season which he had a really tough year. So there's some questions about him, but seems like a good and safe move for the Chiefs.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because I think Chiefs fans immediately, well, that's what I saw, was they're already penciling or putting him in permanent marker that he's the Chiefs' opening day left tackle. And that Juwan Taylor, who the Chiefs picked up $20 million per year in free agency in Jacksonville, is now going to stay at right tackle. I think there's a possibility with, I don't know the contract, but if it's mostly incentives, I would think there's a possibility that he is insurance and that Juwan Taylor doesn't play well at left tackle. You can move him back to right, and then Donovan Smith slides in the left, and it buys time for Lucas Niang or Wanya Morris, whoever the case may be. Do you believe that this automatically is he's going to be the Chiefs' left tackle and Taylor stays at right? Is it that simple?
I mean, that's the hope and the plan. I mean, obviously, you know what can happen with that. And especially for a guy coming off an injury, but Donovan Smith is still fairly young. I mean, he's 29 years old, very effective in Tampa Bay, coming off, like I said, a tough season, but you know, the Chiefs, their expectation is that, yeah, he can still play left tackle and that would be his role. And that would allow Juwan Taylor to play on the right side where he has been much more comfortable. But there's a lot of flexibility there. I mean, is there the potential that both those guys can swap spots, that Donovan Smith ends up on the right side and Taylor on the left? I mean, it's possible. Could Taylor play on the left side? And like you said, one of the other guys, whether it's Wanya Morris or Lucas Niang, plays on the right side, and Donovan Smith is their swing tackle? Possibility. It's pretty clear to me that the Chiefs, their hope and their preference is that Donovan Smith is good enough still and healthy enough that he's going to start on the left side, Jalon Taylor will be the starter on the right, and those other guys can still be backups, and especially for Wanya Morris, an opportunity to just continue learning before he's asked to do more.
What do you say to the people that, I believe it's kind of an overreaction myself, but what do you think when people say you just paid $20 million per year for a right tackle?
Good teams with good tackles are going to be paying them a lot of money. I mean, if you talk about, even if Donovan Smith were to make his maximum incentives, and now you're talking about those two guys making $29 million, honestly, I mean, that's a drop in the bucket these days in the league if you're going to have two starting left, a quality veteran left tackle. So, to me, it's not a huge expense, and certainly if you just look at Donovan Smith is only going to make that money for the most part if he plays well. Otherwise, it is going to be that fairly low base. So if that's the case, it's a minor investment. But if he makes $9 million, that's because Donovan Smith had a really good season.
Yes, and that would be good for the Kansas City Chiefs as well. Matthew Derrick at Chiefs Digest is our guest today talking Chiefs football. The offensive line, I mean, if Smith can bounce back from the injury, as you mentioned, if in fact he's going to be your starting left tackle, if he matches all those incentives, that means he's played good enough to be on the field for a long period of time. Taylor at right tackle, Tooney at left guard. You've got Trey Smith at right guard, Creed Humphrey at center. You've got a lot of depth on this offensive line. Do you think there's been clearly with the Super Bowl a few years ago when Tampa Bay just bludgeoned the Chiefs, and of course they're missing a right tackle and left tackle in that Super Bowl with Schwartz and Fisher being hurt, but do you see the Chiefs maybe looking a little bit kind of like the Patriots did, that when the Patriots had their dynasty, they didn't go out and draft running backs high. They didn't go out and get free agent running backs and spend a lot of money on them. They towards the end, they might have started getting a few receivers here and there. Randy Moss they got for chump change, as we know. Gronkowski's one that they paid as a tight end. The Chiefs paid Travis Kelce, although Kelce could easily hold out and get more money. He probably deserves more money based on the landscape of pro football at the tight end spot. But it seems like, everybody gets caught up in the offensive side of things. Tom Brady always had almost always had a really good defense. The Patriots tended to spend some of their draft capital, or most of it, at some years, or they trade down and get more picks to improve the defense, or they would try to solidify the offensive line with draft picks later. They usually didn't take first round linemen. Do you see the Chiefs making that shift a little bit from when Mahomes and the Chiefs lost in the Super Bowl to Tampa Bay a few years ago to where it's like, you know what, if we build a really solid defense, and we found out last year without Tyreek Hill that Mahomes doesn't need superstar wide receivers, as long as he's got a great tight end, which he has, that we can go ahead and load up on protecting him with the offensive line, and we can load up on, whether it's draft picks or free agency money, load up on making this defense a top 10 defense and thus making it easier for Mahomes to lead us to Super Bowls?
Yeah, there's been a couple of transitions and kind of, changes in focuses for the Chiefs. And one is, when Brett Veach really first stepped into the role, and going back to the 2018 season when they signed Sammy Watkins, his stated philosophy at the time was that we're always going to make sure that Patrick Mahomes has weapons around him. And they have kind of backed off that a little bit. I mean, this year's going to be a fairly good example. I mean, this is going to be the most affordable wide receiver group that you're going to see the Chiefs have in a while. They got Marquez Valdes-Scantling making some money, but otherwise it's a lot of young guys. Whereas on the offensive line, out of that Super Bowl against and loss to the Buccaneers, Brett Veach was like, never again. Never again does he want to have his quarterback, running for his life in a game like that. And that's where, to me, a lot of these moves that you've seen over the last couple of seasons and the move with Donovan Smith fits in that, the Chiefs were looking at maybe the possibility of having a rookie start on the offensive line, a tackle, a premium position for this team. And, whereas Creed Humphrey, was a great second-round pick, but he was also one of the first, centers off the board. Trey Smith was an incredibly unique situation in that he probably would have been one of the first guards off the board without the health problems, the questions about the blood clots. So, in that case, they got two rookies who were, literally the first players at their position off the board. And in this case, with Wanya Morris, for example, there's serious questions about whether he'd be ready to go. But now, you bring in that question, a veteran like Donovan Smith, and now you've got depth. And that's where, to me, this really changes kind of the picture a little bit, is that now you can say, hey, this team at the offensive line is going to go 8-9 deep. And that's what you have to do if you want to make sure that Patrick Mahomes is never going to have to run for his life again. So I think they've done it in that way. And then on the other side, you've seen them invest in youth and speed the last few years on the defensive side. So now what they're trying to do is to say, hey, we've got a quarterback making a lot of money. So one, let's protect him, make sure that he's not going to get hurt. They want to make sure that Patrick Mahomes always has a line in front of him, and when guys get banged up, they've got quality depth. And then, two, the reality that when you're paying your quarterback like that, you're going to have to, you know, sacrifice something on defense, and what they decide to sacrifice to a degree is veterans. And, you know, they've realized that their best course of action may be to just go with youth and speed on the defensive side.
And it worked last year, no question about it. So let's ask you about the Chiefs draft. If you were grading it, and I don't like grading a draft when these guys haven't even signed their contracts yet. I mean, you know, if you go back and Mahomes was graded as a C- by some people back in 2017. We know that obviously was inaccurate. Time to grade a draft is probably 5 years after it happened, or three. And if you redrafted that draft, Mahomes would be a number one overall pick. If you redrafted, Trey Smith wouldn't be a sixth-round pick. Creed Humphrey probably wouldn't be a second-round pick, so forth and so on. But what did you think of the Chiefs draft overall? I mean, what kind of grade would you have given the Chiefs draft in your eyes?
Yeah, I'm with you. And the funny thing is that I've looked at a lot of polls, and I did one myself just asking, you know, the people who follow me what grade they would give this draft. And pretty much every single one of them comes out to, you know, measuring like an A-, B+. And I don't know that I could really pick that apart. I mean, I think the wisdom of the crowd may have gotten this one right. Chiefs hit in this draft just nothing but premium positions. And there's something to be said when you do that, that, you know, obviously for the Chiefs, they were filling a lot of needs, defensive line. You know, they filled wide receiver, filled offensive tackle. They hit cornerback, which was an incredibly deep group this time around. But going into the draft, you know, the week before the draft, Brett Veach told us and said, hey, you know, this is probably going to be a draft where, you know, you just hit what you need. You can never have enough, you know, guys on the offensive line. You can never have enough guys that can get after the passer. You can't have enough pass catchers, and you can't have enough guys in the secondary. And that's exactly what they went out and did. They got guys at every single one of those positions throughout the entire draft.
What pick did you like the best out of their seven picks?
I mean, I thought everything across the board was pretty solid. I mean, especially since the Chiefs, you know, went and got the players that they wanted. But I think there's a chance that, you know, Wanya Morris might end up being the best player of this group. I mean, he is absolutely body-wise, size-wise, metrics-wise, prototypical offensive tackle in the NFL. I mean, he's big size, good size guys, good strength, long arms. I mean, he should be absolutely classic size. The knock against him is that, you know, he has struggled with technique and fundamentals and consistency. And those are all teachable. I mean, you can't teach height, you can't teach length. I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. But Andy Heck and that group, they can teach fundamentals. They can teach that. So if he's open to learning, especially the Chiefs system, he should fit very well with what they like to do. I think long-term, I mean, that's the guy that I think has the highest ceiling in this group.
What was the most questionable pick out of the seven, in your opinion? Or was there a position that they did not draft that surprised you, or that they maybe didn't trade up, perhaps in the first round, as some people thought?
Well, I am always going to be perplexed that whenever the Chiefs continue to fail to address finding a reliable backup behind Travis Kelce.
Thank you.
I mean, I just am like puzzled that every year we seem to go by this, and the only time that they've addressed it, when they get a guy like Noah Gray, who, don't get me wrong, has been fine, but he's not Travis Kelce, and he's not the size, and he's not the measurables of Travis Kelce. He's a different player. So I'm always going to be fascinated in that. But Rashee Rice is probably the one that's got the biggest boom-bust potential to me. There's a lot of reasons to like him. I mean, certainly, I mean, she's liked him for a reason, and they really targeted him. They go up to get him because they didn't think he would still be there at 63. But there's some question marks. I mean, this was not a strong receiver group. This was, as I think Brett Veach would concede, you know, Rice was kind of the last receiver in that next tier for them of receivers that they like. And sometimes when you get the last guy in that tier, it doesn't always end well. Because sometimes you think you're getting the last guy in the tier, and it turns out you're getting maybe the next guy, first guy from the next tier.
Yeah.
Breland Speaks was a good example of that.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things to like about Rice, but I think that there's definitely, you know, like I said, some boom-bust potential with him.
And there's a lot of talk that, you know, Patrick Mahomes wanted Rashee Rice and told Veach to go get him, according to some reports. And, of course, he was all about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, if he wasn't a first-round pick, if he was like a fourth-round pick, we'd be looking at Clyde Edwards-Helaire differently, I think, in his career with the Chiefs. But I saw a lot of people all excited because this is a guy Mahomes wants. I was like, you know, let's see how this plays out. If Mahomes ends up getting a couple guys that he wanted and these guys end up not being the greatest players, we don't need the quarterback to play GM. We just can go ahead and let him play GM, play quarterback. What'd you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he does get the endorsement of Mahomes, there were quite a few receivers who went down to Dallas that were in the draft this year who worked out with Mahomes. Zay Flowers was down there, Quentin Johnston. And the Chiefs certainly tried to trade up in the first round, so maybe their first preference would have been to go get one of those guys, and it didn't come to fruition. But Rice was in that next group. I mean, and the fact that he gets the nod over maybe some other guys with different, you know, traits, like a Marvin Mims, who I think was, you know, arguably should be in that category too. A Jonathan Mingo that went earlier in the second round, you know, probably is, you know, that's a really good player in that tier. But the Chiefs circle Rice, and they like the fact that he plays physical. I mean, he and Brett Veach kind of compared him a little bit as far as what he can do to Juju Smith-Schuster. That's certainly what they need. They need a guy who can line up in different spots, but that can play inside, that can play physical, that can go over the middle, do some of the dirty work underneath. They need a guy like that. And to me, there's always going to be questions about how much a first-year guy can contribute for Andy Reid and his offense at receiver. But Rice, to his credit, is probably uniquely equipped in that regard because he played every single position in college. He's got a diversity of experience. If he's able to pick up the playbook quickly and learn the offense and get comfortable with it, there's a strong chance that he could be and play a bigger role this year than Sky Moore did last year.
Matthew Derrick at Chiefs Digest, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, talking Chiefs football. So let's stick with wide receiver. What do you think of the wide receiver group as it sits right now for the Chiefs? And there, of course, have been rumors for a while, DeAndre Hopkins, if he would be a cut June 1st, which I don't know if that would happen or not, but there's been a lot of talk. Well, the Chiefs, D-Hop, you mentioned they don't have much cap space, so I don't know how that's even that plausible for DeAndre Hopkins to come and play for the Kansas City Chiefs. So what are your thoughts on the wide receiver situation with the group that they have right now? It does seem like you're hearing lots of things out there about Justin Ross. They like him and so forth and so on, but overall, your thoughts on the group?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at this group and compare it to last year, honestly, it's very similar. I mean, and oddly enough, the production of this group last season versus where this team was a year ago, it's a little bit better this year. What they're lacking is, you know, who is the true number one receiver?
Yep.
Last year at this time, we were thinking it could be Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and it ended up being Juju Smith-Schuster. But, you know, I mean, I think you'd feel more comfortable if you had clearly a guy that you're like, hey, this is a 900, 1,000-yard receiver. That's what Juju was last year. But, you know, is Marquez that? I mean, we haven't seen that. I mean, there's a small jump that he's got to make, and he's the best equipped to do it. But the question is, can he be that guy? You know, who is going to be the one, the go-to guy that's not Travis Kelce? There needs to be a Robin to Batman, and I don't know if the Chiefs truly have that yet. I mean, getting a guy like DeAndre Hopkins would solve all those problems and make you feel a lot differently about this group. You're right. I mean, it's probably going to, if that were to happen, I think it would have to be because the Cardinals lost the game of chicken. They released him, and the Chiefs were able to make their own deal with Hopkins. A trade just seems very, very difficult, even though it would be a very low-cost trade. But making it work with his current contract is just, I think, too complicated. But I mean, if you could find another veteran, I think you'd feel a lot differently about this group, because that's the one piece that's missing, is just who is that true number one reliable guy? Because right now, I mean, you'd say based on track record, you know, you've got a 600-yard receiver and you got some guys who maybe have the potential to join Marquez on that tier, but I don't know if you really got a true dominant guy that's the alpha of that group right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. The running back situation, Pacheco's your starter. It seemed to me it was pretty clear that McKinnon was on line one, and as soon as the draft was over, Brett Veach was like, hey, if we don't find this guy we love at running back, we're going to call you, and then boom, you're going to be with us. And they got that done right away, which I think is a no-brainer. And then Clyde Edwards-Helaire's fifth-year option was not picked up. He still has a year left on his contract. You know, he catches a lot of heat. I'm like anybody else. I think he misses a lot of holes. He doesn't have some cutback ability that should be there, and so forth and so on. Plus, he's been injury-prone. But when you look at his career, he averages 4.5 yards a carry. So maybe he doesn't get enough credit for what he does do. The running back situation, are you feeling pretty good about just basically having the same group together?
I think you have to feel pretty good about it. I mean, you're right. I mean, if you think about it and you go back to that 2020 draft, and if the Chiefs had been able to trade out of that 32nd spot like they wanted to, and they get, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire early in the second round instead of the bottom of the first, I think you get different expectations about him.
Agreed.
And once again, I mean, the kid has not had a healthy season yet. That's been, you know, kind of some bad luck for him. But because you're right, I mean, you look at it and it's like he's been effective when he has played and when he's been healthy. It just hasn't always come together for him when he's been healthy and on the field. But if Clyde is your number three guy, essentially, behind Pacheco and McKinnon, and you've got to figure he's going to be in a similar role as he was last year, I mean, that's decent depth. I mean, and the Chiefs, hey, everybody's pretty excited about an undrafted free agent, Denerick Prince from Tulsa. I mean, I always pump the brakes until you see these guys in the field and everything.
Yeah.
You never know. I mean, but running backs are, to a degree, in the NFL, a dime a dozen. And Isaiah Pacheco isn't, you know, he's not as Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, he's not a 1,800-yard guy or anything. But, you know, the Chiefs have some backs that work pretty well with their system. So I don't think they were in bad shape, especially with McKinnon coming back. I think that was the missing piece that made you feel really good about that group. If Clyde's your third guy, that's a really deep group. We'll see if they add anybody else. I mean, right now the Chiefs would be in a position where they're going to do something that Andy Reid hasn't done in a long, long time, if ever that I can remember, of playing without a fullback. And we'll see if that's going to be something that they do going forward, and that's the case. It might end up even keeping an extra guy in the backfield as a halfback.
We talk about the defense a little bit, but before we get to the off-the-wall question with you, Matthew, I'd like to get your thoughts on the pass rush of the Chiefs going into training camp. Karloftis, of course, coming back. You got Chris Jones, and then Felix Anduke-Uzomah, who was a first-round pick out of Kansas State. How do you feel about the pass rushing group, and how do you feel about the contributions that Uzomah could make for this team?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's going to depend on, I think, two people. I mean, I think you're going to feel really good about the prospect of George Karloftis making a good move in year two. I mean, if he does and he's able to get maybe close to a 10-sack season this year, that's good. The other piece is going to be, you know, Chris Jones. And if he's healthy again and is able to have anywhere close to the kind of production he had last year, then that defensive line is going to be great no matter what. I think with Charles and Minnehue, that's a question mark. I mean, the Chiefs are paying him a lot of money, and it hasn't necessarily been, you know, complete production from him yet in his NFL career. I mean, they're betting a little bit that he's going to make that leap this year, and that, you know, in a different system, in a different place, that maybe he can be more productive, especially with getting more playing time. But you got to like, I think, especially on the edge, really like their rotation with the guys that they picked up. I mean, B.J. Thompson, probably. He's a little bit like, an early morning, I'm completely blanking on the kid's name that the Chiefs drafted a couple of years ago. I mean, he's a very toolsy player, but he's actually been more productive, I mean, in college, you know. So I really like B.J. Thompson as a prospect. The guy who might really play a role this year is Keandre Coburn, because the Chiefs have some numbers at the tackle, but, you know, Derek Nnadi has battled injuries. Tershawn Wharton's coming back from an injury. You know, you lost Colin Saunders. You're rebuilding that defensive tackle group a little bit behind Chris Jones. And Keandre Coburn is a really interesting player. He's good. Mammoth size. I mean, he's quick, though. He's got a little Colin Saunders in him. I think that Joe Cullen on the defensive line can get something out of him. I like the depth. I mean, we'll see what happens. But, and I don't think the Chiefs are done. I mean, I think there will probably be another addition to that group as a veteran, because that's what Brett Veach likes to do, and and it might even be a name that you're familiar with.
So Uzama, what do you think about the pick, though, at 31 for K-State? Like, do you think he's going to make contributions right away, or is he more of a maybe down-the-line player that's going to really contribute?
No, I think he can contribute this year. I mean, okay. Especially if the Chiefs, you know, really do what they want to, which is to rotate those guys a little bit more than they have done in the past couple of seasons. I think he's got a chance to play quite a few snaps, and, you know, and I think he can play some meaningful snaps. I like the pick. I mean, and Felix is a great example of one of the things that the Chiefs like to do, which is bet on players who are late bloomers. They feel like those guys, if you get a player who's young, who has succeeded despite, you know, maybe developing late or coming to football late, and Felix is definitely physically a late bloomer, they think those guys have high ceilings. And if that's the case, he should have a pretty high ceiling.
Absolutely. And that would be awesome. That's what the Chiefs like. Young on defense, as you mentioned, and taking care of the offensive line and getting some weapons here and there for Patrick Mahomes. Time for the off-the-wall question. I had one lined up for you, but I changed it at the last minute. Are you a Star Wars fan?
I am a huge Star Wars fan.
Oh, then we've hit the jackpot. All right, so today is National Star Wars Day, as you well may know, because you're a big Star Wars fan. What do you do anything special to celebrate National Star Wars Day? Do you dress in your Wookiee costume? Do you show up with a lightsaber? Is there anything that you do to celebrate National Star Wars Day, Derek? Matthew? Derek?
I don't, and here's the reason, is that I'm a little annoyed by May the 4th.
Okay.
Because when I was growing up, Star Wars Day to me was May 25th, because that was the day that the movie debuted and the Return of the Jedi debuted. So I've always considered May 25th to be a bigger deal. I would even consider, you know, Life Day in November, Wookiee Life Day, a bigger deal than May 4th.
I like it.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite character? Who's your favorite character? Or what character do you identify with the most?
Oh, man, that is a great question. I've never really thought about that. Of course, now, I mean, I think that the most, the greatest character, of course, right now in the modern Star Wars area is, of course, Baby Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, I mean, I was a huge fan of the expanded universe back in the day, and very, very bitter that Disney comes in and basically says the old expanded universe were just, you know, mythologies and don't really count anymore. Now everything is canon, but throws it out. But 'cause in the expanded universe, Grand Admiral Thrawn was a pretty big deal. So that's a non-traditional answer for you.
Man, I tell you, I cannot believe, I'm so glad I changed my off-the-wall question, because my original one was just boring as heck. That one was so much better because of your love for Star Wars. That was absolutely incredible. Well done. Well done. I learn something new about our guests all the time, too, when we ask these questions. How can everybody follow you on social media, read your work with Chiefs Digest? Because I know some people that are Chiefs and Royals fans are already like, all right, Royals season's over. Let's get to training camp.
Yeah, unfortunately, my 82-80 prediction for the Royals is not coming through.
No, not looking good.
You can go to ChiefsDigest.com. You can find me on Twitter at Matt Derrick, and you can find Chiefs Digest on Facebook.
As always, appreciate the time, Matthew. We'll talk to you again probably sometime during training camp. Sound good?
Sounds a great way. Take care, my friend.
Take care. That is Matthew Derrick. Chiefs Digest does a wonderful job. He knows the Chiefs inside and out, and we appreciate him joining us today to talk about the Chiefs and their offseason thus far. The newest acquisition, Donovan Smith, perhaps the Chiefs' new left tackle. At least you would think he's going to be a starter on offensive line. And once again, thank you to Matthew for joining us today on the Sports Ticket.